What's going on, guys? Alrighty. But at any rate, you guys know who it is. It's Steve Oatley. I am your favorite freight broker. This show, I'm going to talk about what I always talk about, which is freight. Actually, today's more of a news type story. I've actually got a couple of DOT stuff. I've got some new exciting stuff I'm doing. I got some other stuff. I got a bunch of stuff. Didn't really move much freight today. Two loads moved. But I did move some other stuff and get some exciting news. So I'm pretty excited about that. But at any rate, I'm going to play my little intro thing here just because it makes a good cut on for when I put this on YouTube. And if nobody knows who I am Steve with Freight Broker Live. We're going to talk about DOT issues. We're going to talk about Secretary Chow and how she's a big fraud and shouldn't be in office. We're going to talk about whether or not today is, or whether or not the current state of affairs is a good time or a bad time to get into the trucking industry because of a FreightView article, which I'll talk about later. We're going to talk about how fuel costs didn't skyrocket as this guy projected or predicted. And we'll talk about a bunch more, but here you go. All right, so now we're going to jump right into my fancy schmancy news studio here. And we're just going to talk about some of the news that went on. I wrote a couple of stories. I copied a couple of stories and put them on my site as well, which if you don't know my site, it's freightbrokerlive.com. They also link them out to LinkedIn and Facebook. So as soon as I write one within an hour, it's published to Facebook. If you guys see those articles those articles that are on my site, please share them out just to get more traffic to the site. That would be awesome. All right. So starting off, so we know that this is another one of those DOT safety weeks this week. And they're doing brake checks and brake inspections. I actually had a driver that was pulled over yesterday, he said, for a brake inspection down in Texas or for a roadside inspection in Texas. And hold on, I'm going to switch this and make this go in front here. There. And he was put out for a roadside inspection. He ended up failing it, and that has to do a bunch of stuff. So he's delayed a day to pick up. Luckily, he called me. He did what he's supposed to do, and he called and said, hey, I'm going to be a day late to pick this thing up. I got a bunch of issues I got to fix with my truck before they're going to let me go. That's a good carrier. As much as it sucks, it's a partial. I don't care. I'm actually making good money on it. But I don't care, as long as his truck is safe and he's safe on the road and all that, that's all that matters. But for any of you guys that are out there driving trucks and your trucks aren't good, now is the time just to take the week off. And with that, I put this meme up there because you guys know I love memes. Driver, go ahead and park it. We're about to screw up your day. Anyone who's driven a truck knows what that means. I've only had one DOT violation in my life, and that's before ELDs, and I was running the wrong logs. I just grabbed the wrong book because, back when there's log books, I was one of those guys that kept multiple logs. And I was going through Connecticut on, what was it, I-4 or whatever, or not I-4, 84 in Connecticut, and they got me in Danbury and put me out for 10 hours. And luckily, I was only 2 hours away from my office, so I made someone else come and pick me up and sit with the truck. It's a privilege, or they didn't have to sit because they had fresh logs. So, but that's good. All right, we got a question. So I'm going to actually, I'm going to save the questions for later. All right, and then, so this is where I'm going to talk about trucks. So FreightView wrote an article now and said, that a bunch of people are buying up trucks. They're buying up used trucks, and which doesn't really make sense because there's an abundance of capacity and a driver shortage and all this other crap that the media tries to say all the time. Again, if you never watched my show, my firm belief on it is there is no driver shortage at all. We do not have, and we have too many trucks on the road. But my personal belief, and I think now is a good time to get into trucking. As long as you have the capital to float yourself while you're doing it, you can make money. They're buying trucks up from people that are companies that are going out of business. So they're, I guess it said the demand for trucks that are 3 years old or newer is the price is much higher because people are going after the older trucks because they're cheaper. Same thing I did when I had my trucks, I bought cheaper trucks. you know, they were still good trucks. They were just cheaper. And I did it on purpose because they were cheaper. I mean, it shouldn't be common sense there, but whatever. All right, here's my little first ever commercial break. OTR Capital, if you guys are a carrier or a broker and you're looking for a good factoring company, go to my website, freightbrokerlive.com, click on the partners tab, go down to factoring. You're going to see this logo there. Click on that logo. You can find out more about them. That's geared more towards owner operators. If you're a factoring or if you're a broker and you're looking for a great factoring company for your brokerage, just send me a message or something. I'm still going to refer OTR. They're the best factoring company I've ever dealt with. And I've dealt with a lot of them as a dispatcher, probably over 30. So I have a really good rapport with them. Anyone who signs up through my link also can get up to 3.5% non-recourse factoring, which means that if the, you know, customer doesn't pay, they're not going to come back after you. There's no escrow. It's a straight up 3.5% rate. Anyway, next. This lady. Woo! If you guys don't know who this is, her name is Secretary Chow. She is married to Mitch McConnell. And to be honest, today I didn't even pay attention to who she was until today. I didn't pay attention. I don't care about the ELD stuff. I don't care about hours of service. It's not, I mean, I care about it to a certain extent, but it's not something I really consume over, nor do I do a lot of research. I don't drive a truck anymore. But this lady, so I read an article this morning and then I did a little bit more research and wrote one for my site. So she's got ties to different trucking companies and different ocean vessel companies and all this stuff. And she didn't, divulge her interest in another company. And she's in charge of the Department of Transportation. I'm not going to go into a big, because I stay away from politics and all that stuff in these videos. This lady needs to be fired. And then, you know, whatever else happens, happens. But she needs to be fired. I'm not getting into the whole, you know, sending money back to Kentucky crap, because I don't know anything about that. But all I know is she's part of a couple of big transportation companies, and her family owns the Frontline Group or something like that. And she should not be heading a legislative body that controls those things. That's just my opinion. And I didn't know, and this is, you know, some people that have been in the industry know, you know, they stay current on all this stuff. I don't pay attention to it that much. So when I read the original article this morning, I'm like, are you kidding? How is she even in office? But plus she sucks at her job apparently anyway. So next, this picture's out of line. This is, oh, you know what? It's not. This is a brake check. So as we said, we're going through brake checks now. So if you're driving a truck and you don't monitor your equipment, make sure you, you check, because they're going to put you out. That's what they're looking for this week. I also wrote an article about that, I think. And speeding tickets. I wrote something too about the speeding tickets for the July safety audit. You know, they wrote in 1 week, they wrote 1400 and something, almost 1500 speeding tickets for truckers. Granted, they wrote 16,000 or so for cars, but 1400 tickets for truckers speeding. That's not including all the other shit, just speeding. Here's an idea. Slow down, guys. Slow down. You won't get tickets. You'll be a lot. It's shit like that when it comes out and they're like, oh, yeah, the driver is speeding and blah, 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 blah. That's what gives truck drivers a bad attitude. That's why all these lawyers are, you know, chasing, you know, as soon as a truck bumps into a car. It happened to me. I had a driver run over the hood of someone's car, and we ended up getting sued for mental anguish and all this shit. And guess what the insurance company did? They settled the damn thing. The lady wasn't even hurt. They drove the car away. They settled it because she got some lawyer, and the lawyer just kept trying to sue and sue and sue. They sued me. They sued the driver. They sued the insurance company. They sued everybody. They sued the leasing company for the truck, just trying to get someone to do something until finally our insurance kicked in, and they said, fine, we'll take care of it. This slow down on the roads. Make sure the equipment you're driving is roadworthy, and just do your job as a truck driver, and we'll do ours as brokers, and they'll do theirs as cops, and everyone can work happily ever after, and we all make money, and we're all happy. That's funny. Here's another selfless promotion. If you're looking for a website for your motor carrier, for your trucking company, or your freight brokerage, your up and coming freight brokerage, or your new company that you don't have any web presence for, and you would like someone that spends way too much time designing a website, contact me, because I realized I'm actually pretty decent at it, and I can make money doing that. And if I can get a couple of those guys to, you know, where I'm designing a website every single month, for people, then I can maybe make these make this more of a full-time gig. So if you want a website fully customized, all that, I'm doing one this weekend. Someone just signed up for that. Let me know, because I figure I could do 2 a week, roughly, like full custom websites, content included. So all I need is a logo and your address. And then, you know, we'll talk a lot on the phone and figure out what you want on there and all that stuff. But if you want a good website, check out freightbrokerlive.com. You could see, a rough estimate of what a website could look like. Oh, granted, I did that in a weekend. It took me a long time. I think I'm going to charge $250 for a very basic website, and web hosting is included for a year. So it's cheaper than GoDaddy and all that crap. All right, next. Woo. All right, Q&A section. There we go. See, that's the quickest I ever got through news, ever. All right, let's read some of these comments. So Nate said, yo, what's up, Nate? Victor said, what's up today? Well, I just talked about it. These are old messages. That's why I'm going through them. Justin said, what's up? What's up, buddy? Asin said, what's up? Or he said, hello. Hello. Justin said, hauled an Uber freight load today. Was scheduled for 8 a.m. delivery. I showed up at 7:30, and they tell me here at my receiver, my time slot is for 11 a.m. I'm still currently here. It's, 2 o'clock? It depends where you are. And then your next question goes along with this, because you said, I should be able to get detention from my 8 a.m. slot Uber gave me, correct? Yeah, as long as it's on your rate con. I don't know what detention, I think Uber pays like $70 an hour or something like that for detention. So it just, as long as that's on your rate con, it should be automatic. I don't know how Uber works. I've actually tried to reach out to Uber a couple of times recently, just because I have some management questions per se, and I never got a response. But yeah, you should. I think you get it from 2 hours after your assigned delivery appointment. So from 10 o'clock on, you should be getting detention. But then again, that's how it would work for me. Like if I say you have an 8 o'clock appointment and you go and you make a delivery at a certain, and then you get there and they say it's not till 1:00. If I'm the one who told you 8 o'clock, guess what? I'm forking over detention, whether or not the customer even pays, I'm going to pay it. And that's just the way it is. You know, I don't know what they do, but that's all I could say. And then what's this next question? David said, she's a joke. Yeah, she is. She is. But I don't know. That really caught me off guard, man, because I'm not a big political guy. I mean, I watch Fox News all day when I'm working. And because it's the only stomach or the news channel I could stomach at this point in our political climate. But I didn't know who she was. I've seen her before from, you know, comments, and I've watched her videos the videos with her speaking, but I didn't know her background until I read that article today. And it kind of got me. You know what I was going to talk about? See, there's a jump. The fuel. I did talk about it. Fuel didn't go up. Maybe it went up a couple of cents. It went up in Houston, apparently, according to one article I read. It went up about 10 cents. And they're like, well, you know, that could just be a really slow effect. It's because a freaking hurricane hit and they're driving through 8 inches of water in Houston. That's why the oil price went up. But it has nothing to do with the Saudi Arabia stuff. Now, mark my words, I have it on good intelligence. And not really. It's just because I watch the news all day. We are going to bomb the shit out of Iran. That's my prediction. I think it's going to happen. We are going to bomb them or do strategic attacks, or we're going to do something extremely stupid. And if we don't, we just look like, at any rate, no political. When that does happen, if anything else escalates out there, then yes, I foresee fuel going up. Because I also read an article that said that the United States burns through 20 million gallons of oil, essentially, or 20 million, you know, whatever, gallons of oil a day. Can't be 20 million gallons. It has to be 20 million drums. What? All right, hold on. Nate said, well, at least she has some skin in the trucking game. I doubt her company is big enough to self-insure, so she actually has her interests aligned with truckers. No, I don't know. If you're talking about the Elaine Chao lady, yeah, she has enough skin in the game. They could self-insure like that, like 15 times over. They are not a small company. They own ships. It's really funny. When I started reading other articles, so her parents are, she's Chinese. Her parents' company, which is owned by her mom and her sister, I guess, owned another company that's based out of China, I guess. and they operate ocean vessels and own ocean vessels. One of these vessels was caught with like 90 tons of cocaine on it right before she was sworn into office. There's all sorts of, I read all sorts of conspiracy shit too today. So apparently her husband received a sum between $5 million and $25 million from this company too. And then there's rumors that she's diverting, you know, road stuff, you know, funds to repair roads to Kentucky, where her and old Mitchie live. And that could be true, could be wrong. I don't know. Hopefully she fixes all the potholes everywhere. But she is definitely big enough to self-insure. I didn't even do any research on what the companies do other than what I just told you. And like I said, I don't know. She should be gone. She shouldn't be in charge of DOT if she has a vested interest in another transportation company. That's like saying, okay, hire me as a broker to be a coalition leader for truckers. Clearly my best interests are going to be as a broker because that's what I do for a living. That's where I make my money. If I had a self-sustaining job that was going to carry me through for the rest of my legacy, then yeah, well, and I'm actually not a good example of that because I would probably do what is in the best interest of other people. Hence making these free videos all the time. It's not really beneficial to me at this point. Maybe it will be someday, but I still make them because I like making the damn videos, you know? And so I get a kick out of that. I think that people that are in public office should be like the sole survivors of their family, have no immediate family, anything like that. So there's no ties that could be misconstrued to anywhere. And that's kind of a joke, but at the same time, no matter who's in office, there's always going to be some dirt that someone digs up on them. And, but this lady shouldn't be in charge of the Department of Transportation when she runs companies or she has affiliations with companies. Or shit, her family owns companies that are directly impacted by the legislation she writes. She shouldn't be in politics. That's my opinion. But again, this is not a political show, so I try to keep it all not apolitical. But anyway, Mike said, what is the best commission split you've seen for an agent working from home? So commission splits vary. I've seen them from 50-50. I'll talk from my perspective. So I've had 50-50 commission splits, 40-60, even where I'm getting 40, based on like how hard I actually have to work. Like LTL, I think with Global Trans, when I started with them, I got 40% of whatever I did for LTL because I didn't do shit. I literally got a customer and then they used the TMS system. I didn't do anything. The system was what did all the work, and that's why I was fine giving up, you know, 60%. I think once my volume increased, they increased that number. But I've heard, you know, if you're working as a broker, like for example, if you're doing everything I do all day, getting customers, booking trucks, talking to the drivers, tracking your trucks, marking it delivered in the system, making sure paperwork's arrived, all that stuff, you should be getting the high end between 60 and you know, 90%. The only way, and I tell you what, if a little company offers you 85 or 90% commission splits, you got to be very careful that, like, for example, for me, I would not go work for a company unless they were massive that offered me a 90% commission split because I would think that company is not going to survive. It's just because it's just not going to, not the way the amount of money it takes to actually own the company. You're not going to be able to survive with that kind of split. So to answer your question, I've seen anywhere from 40 to 80%. And I've made that, you know, depending on where usually the target goal is around 70% because I don't think a company really needs to make much more than 30% unless they have the whole large amount to actually help the agent succeed in business. And that's one of the reasons I make on that higher end now. And eventually I'll go higher and higher as my revenue dictates and they make more money for doing less because, you know, it's all built into the system. But I hope that's the best one I ever had was 80%. I've had the opportunity to have commission busted up. Hold on. I got to fix my chair. It's screwed up here. Wow. Woo. Oh, so as you guys know, I'm training for competition in 2 weeks, actually less than 2 weeks now. It's what, 10 days away. I have to be at 275 pounds for this championship. It's a powerlifting championship. I'm a powerlifter. I don't weigh 275 pounds now, so I've been cutting and drinking too much water and being miserable, no sugar, you know, really like rice, chicken, and protein shakes all day long, every day. Today, I just said, screw it. I went to McDonald's and I ordered a bunch of stuff. So that's why I have so much energy right now. Plus, I didn't do the gym yesterday, so I've got a lot of energy, but apologize for that. Next question. Also, what types of commodities have you seen that ship on a flatbed? What types of everything? Wood, steel, equipment, everything. I mean, whatever can ship on a flatbed can ship on a flatbed. If it's, I'm confused by the question. As long as it's not palletized food and reefer shit, can't frozen stuff can't go on a flatbed. You know, just palletized, you know, steel, wood, there's building materials, you know, logs, pretty much anything that wouldn't go in, that wouldn't need to be covered. And then even if it's some stuff that would go on a flatbed, it depends all over the place. No. Wrong answer. Well, yes. No, correct answer. Depending on, you can't fit something that's 9.5 foot tall on a flatbed. So trick question there. You could go in a step deck, but no. The commodities, everything. Everything could go on whatever they'll allow to transport on the flatbed. So equipment, a lot of times, like if it's on a step deck, tall shit, wide loads that can't go in a dry van. A dry van's 102 inches wide. So if the thing is 103 inches wide, guess what? It's not going to be able to go on a dry van. So it would have to go on a step deck. Or if it would have to go on a step deck or flatbed or whatever, because it would be a wide load and you can overhang off of the sides. Usually a lot of times too, if it's equipment, you know, steel or tile, stone, you know, bricks or anything like that, concrete blocks, and it's going to a site that isn't really like they don't have loading docks, they'll sometimes ask for a Conestoga or they'll ask for a flatbed with tarps because they'll need to be able to access the freight from the side of the truck because they can't get a forklift up there because they don't have a loading dock. I've also shipped stuff like that too, where, you know, it's something that easily could go in a drive in. It would have been cheaper to go in the drive in, but the driver didn't have a pallet jack to move it to the tail of the truck, or, you know, just they couldn't, you know, they had to offload from the street. And so a forklift couldn't get out there. So I've had all sorts of different examples, but yeah, the stuff that can go on a flatbed, because you asked specifically commodities, like I said, pretty much lumber, stone, masonry stuff, steel, you know, all that stuff, palletized, you know, anything. Here's a good way. Anything that you see that is exposed to elements, you know, wood, everything I just mentioned, all that stuff could be transported on a flatbed. Some of the times it may need to be tarped. Think land. I mean, pretty much anything. Anything that could not, you know, be totally ruined if it was wet. I hope that answers your question. Hold on. Don said, what's up? What's up, Don? All right, here we go. Justin said, when I operated my transportation company, did you ever sign owner ops? Yes, I did. And I've also consulted for a whole pile of companies that I've helped build like owner operator programs. So they're able to do it. But yeah. So yeah, I have. You have a particular question on that? I was an agent recruiter. So I recruited agents and I recruited owner operators to work. That's how I ended up in this horrible state of Florida. Is I moved down here to be the director of agency and carrier services for a big 3PL that had trucks. So yep. If you have another question to that, let me know. Nate said, long stuff too. What's the deck height for a van and flat? It's the same as dock height. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but a dry van doesn't have access to the sides. So, well, unless it has doors. You know, like moving logistics vans sometimes will have those doors on the side. By the way, dock height is usually 48 inches. I've seen it anywhere from 43 to 50 inches, depending on the dock. And that's why most of them have load levelers. But I can tell you once I loaded crates on top of on a flatbed once. and driving the forklift, that is some scary crap. I don't care. There's some sort of sense of stability, or I guess, when you have walls on the side of you. I tell you, I wasn't very comfortable driving a forklift on an 8-foot wide thing, moving a crate that was 8-foot wide where I couldn't see where I was going. Did not like it very much at all. But yeah, here we go. Orlando said, how many customers are recommended before becoming a broker agent? In terms of what? Because you're not going to be able to become a broker agent without having customers. Very rarely. I'm working. So here's a little, if he's watching, you're welcome for the free plug. So I have recently signed, or I'm designing a website for a brokerage this weekend, you know, starting tonight probably, that for a brokerage that is going to be on hiring agents. He initially contacted me, and I know the guy. Crap, my phone's ringing. Hold on. Dispatch. Yeah, it's a little ditch witch. It's 84 inches long, 33 inches wide, 47 inches tall, 1,020 pounds. It picks up today until 4 o'clock or tomorrow. It's super flexible. Delivery, you know, you tell me when, and I'm paying $900 on it. You need ramps. I'm sorry. Yeah, because they want you to drive it on. So you could move it so it's only taking up 3 feet of trailer space. But yeah, you definitely need ramps to get it on there and off. All right, thanks. Bye. I'm really surprised. Now, that load is a little ditch witch thing. It's like you said, like you just heard from the dimensions, it's not a very big piece of equipment. It's small. It's 84 inches long, 33 inches wide. If you've ever seen them, they're like a walk behind trencher is what I like to call them. It's a trencher. So it just digs a trench down. They're very small. They take up a very small footprint. I quoted the customer $1,500 going from Minneapolis to California. I thought that I'd be able to make a pretty penny off of that. And so, like you heard, you know, and that's not because it's going to take up such a small footprint on the trailer. Someone's already going that way. I'll make some money on it and it's fine. I've had like 4 or 5 calls on it. The first one I offered $800, which makes me making a tremendous amount of money, even though I said I don't do that. I'd make, you know, $700 because it's a one-off load and it's specifically for a carrier that doesn't work. He essentially just hung up as soon as I said 800. So I called him back and I said, what would you need to move it? So then get this, knowing that I have 15 in it, I was like, okay, I'll move it up to 14. I don't care, just to move the load and be happy with the customer. I was trying to make money, but I'm not greedy. This guy says he wants $3,000. And I say, why? And he's like, because I got a 20-foot trailer. And I said, good luck. Like, I just don't get it. You know, like, they're going to call me back to see if they want the load. That happens a lot where, you know, people are going to call me back. They won't call me back, but who knows? And then tomorrow, because it's not in a big rush to move it, tomorrow I'll raise the rate up to, you know, $1,200 and try to make a couple of bucks off of it. All right. Let's see here. When talking to shippers, do you ask about dock height every single time? So I always just say, do you have a loading dock? I don't ask specific dock height unless I know that the truck is a box truck going in, where the box trucks sit a little bit lower. So a lot of the times they don't work, stuff like that. But yeah, all the time, every single time I ask if they have loading docks, you have to, because I've had drivers go to a place to pick up. And they go and they have a little forklift and the guy, they don't have a pallet jack. And so they tail load it and the truck can't get anything through. Because here's something that you guys don't know, or maybe you do. Hold on. If you're moving a load and it's most independent docks, like, so let's say you pick up a load from one place, you find another load on the way. So you pick that up and then you bring it, or you, and then you find another partial and you bring that, even though the other partial has to be, that's going to be your last stop after you start making your stops. So you go to the first stop and you're like, hey man, I've got 2 pallets that just have to be pulled off so we can get to your freight. They're not going to, 9 times out of 10, they are not going to let that freight hit their loading dock because it's a huge liability. They're not going to let you take freight off of the truck, put it in their warehouse, and then go move their freight and then put that stuff on. Even if you tell them that you'll do it themselves, because the second that freight hits their loading dock, they are responsible for it. Most good warehouses know that. So keep that in mind if you're doing dry van partials or any of that shit. You're not going to have this problem with flatbeds because you pull it off from the side, if you know, or step decks or anything like that. But dry vans, for these guys that are doing partials, like what I'm moving are like 20-foot long containers. So I have people all the time. I had one guy that went to get loaded. He loaded, and then he called me from it was the last stop, and he called me, or the lady called me. I think I made a video when she called. She called me from Sterling, Virginia, and said, hey, they're not going to offload this thing. They're not taking these U-Haul boxes off my truck to get to your freight. I said, of course they're not going to do it. Why would they? It's not their freight. They're not going to touch that to get to our crate. You're going to have to go find an independent dock. She's like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, no, it's common sense. You picked up our load. Make sure you're able to deliver it. It's not my job to go find a second warehouse so you could pull off your other freight to get to mine. And that happens a lot, believe it or not. So if you guys are doing the dry van or even straight truck, shit, here she comes again. Hello. Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah, as long as you're going to stick on it, you're not going to cancel on me. Yeah. You said other packages. What kind of trailer do you have? Hotshot, right? Yeah, okay, that's fine. What's your MC? And your callback number? And your name? All right, Chrissy. I'll give you a call here in about 40 minutes. I'm actually doing a live show. I'll explain it later when I call you. It's your load, though. I won't give it to anyone else. All right? All right. Yep. Yep. Bye. Well, see, I just booked that load and made $600 for the day. Woohoo! But it's not picking up till Friday, so whatever. That's 2 days in a row. You guys heard me make a $400 load yesterday during yesterday's video, and this one was $600. So it shows you how much a freight broker can make. Now, could I have paid more? Yes. But that's the same reason that I always say when people say brokers are cheap and all that shit. If a carrier is willing to accept that rate, why am I going to try to give them more money? It doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't. Because if they're willing to accept the rate, then I make money too and it's happy, especially when I make typically $50 a load. So I know people are going to be like, oh, you just made too much money, blah, 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 blah. Who cares? All right, let's see some of these questions. Justin said, is there anything specific I would need done beyond the lease agreement? Yeah, Justin, send me your phone number. Send me a message, like click on my name, you'll see it, and then send me a private message with your phone number. But yeah, there is. You need all sorts of different contracts. You need to get VOEs. You need to get an application on file. You need to pull their driving record. You need to get a previous 7 days. You need to get all sorts of crap just in order to do it. Your insurance cover, your liability insurance, you'll have to add them to your insurance policy. That'll cover their liability. They do need to have bobtail insurance because your liability insurance will not cover them while they're not under dispatch. Unless they're hooked to your trailer. If they're hooked to your trailer, then they're covered. But the second they unhook, like to go bobtail home or something like that, they effectively do not have insurance. And I've had it too, where I had owner ops with me that were under my authority, that when they would go and I had one that was in an accident, he gave my insurance and they tried to file an insurance claim. And the insurance company said, where was he going? I said, he was on his way home. And they're like, did he have a load? Nope. They said, all right, we're not covering it. And I said, what do you mean? And they're like, no, he needs bobtail insurance. Luckily this guy had it. I just didn't even have it on file, which would have been a DOT violation, I believe. I think you need to have it on file. But yeah, there's a whole stack of paperwork that you need to have for any new owner operator, including drug tests and all that stuff. But Justin, if you send me your phone number, so send me an IM or PM or whatever the hell they're called. And I could guide you through it. I could set up something for you if you want. because I've done that too in the past. Ben said, what's up? What's up, Ben? Justin said, I have a couple guys that have personally been driving longer and I just than I've been alive. Yeah, just send me a message, bud. I'll help you through all that stuff. All right. Nate said, one thing nobody else has talked about is that very problem with LTL and drive-in. Can you talk more about these secondary warehouses and how cross-docking works? Some people like myself have never deal with it. Well, so it's different. So when you, if you have a drive-in, like it's what I did. I very rarely would haul when I had, because that's all I had was drive-ins when I first started, drive-ins and straight trucks and stuff. I very rarely would haul full truckloads unless they were backhauls, especially from Mass and Maine and all that crap, because that was the region that I covered. So what I would do is I would take partials and I would combine them. Now, typically, so that means that everyone should know what a partial is. A partial is any skid that's, you know, one to typically six skids or even 12 skids is a partial load. To me, even as a broker, anything that I quote that's over 12 pallets is a full truckload. I don't care if it's 13 or 12 and a half pallets. Damn, my phone keeps ringing. Hold on, guys. Dispatch. 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 But, yeah, anything that's over 12 pallets, I consider a full truckload automatically. So what people do and what I do and what everyone else does is they take a dry van and they, instead of just taking a full truckload or they find a full truckload, they go to pick up the full truckload and it's someone moving two skids as a full truckload. So they'll say, okay, well, I'm going to find another load. And that's why you'll hear like last on, first off, or first on, last off, or whatever, because that they don't want the other person to know that. So, for example, if you hear a broker say it's last on, first off, that or last shit, last on, last off, that means no, first on, last off. When a broker says that, they are moving it as a full truckload and they're paying you a partial. My phone keeps ringing. Sorry, guys, hold on. Dispatch. Dispatch. Hey, bud, your phone's not working. Send me a text or something. Thanks. Dude called me like three times, but his phone doesn't work. So if a broker says first on, last off, that means the broker's getting paid full truckload money for it because he doesn't want his customer to know you're putting anything else with the truck, and he's not paying you full truckload money. I've never encountered it as a broker. I've encountered it as a carrier quite a bit. And because I've been a broker and I can use my head, I understand that is like super not legit at all. And it's a play you can get more money for. If a broker ever says that to you, say, all right, well, you're moving it as a full truckload. So look up what the full truckload rate is, assuming that he's giving it to you. Hold on. Dispatch. You're what? Yeah. Nobody's there? Yeah. All right. Let me get you a phone number for them. I'll call you back here in a minute. Okay. Stand by. Pissed off. Hold on. One second. So I'm sending an email because right now my warehouses are all unmanned. The warehouses that we deliver to, driver is there and no one is at the warehouse. Please send contact number for the customer. Driver's ticked off because I don't have a contact number for this warehouse. The customer doesn't, for certain warehouses, he won't give me the contact numbers because they're corporate locations. And so every single time, if I don't catch it when I book the load, that the number in the system is my number, then I have to call and get it after. And it's a pain in the ass. And now I'm trying to find, because I know I've asked him for the number before, and I didn't save it. So... which is a problem because now this driver doesn't have phone number and whatever. Nothing. Oh, wait, here we go. All right, bear with me, guys. See, this is Freight Broker Live. I'm brokering freight live. Shit, what was his phone number? Bear with me, guys. I know this isn't making the best content, but now I'm texting him from my cell phone. Shit, 9-1. So I'm texting him the number. 2-1. Probably going to lose all my viewers after this. So sorry, guys. Bear with me. All right. Anyway. I got to save that number so that doesn't happen again. All right. So like I was saying before I dealt with that, yeah, so those warehouses. So people consolidate partials. The same thing you would do on your step deck. If you go to pick up a load and it's only 5 foot of space, you're going to try to put something else on that truck. As long as it's not going to impede your delivery schedules or any of that stuff, you're going to try to put something else with that truck. So, you know, and that's partials. But when you do it in a dry van, it's a little bit more tricky because, like, we did it and we were successful at it because we had our own warehouse. So when we came back, every single day, no matter where the shit was going, it came off of the truck every day. So we would take off of the truck, and then we would be putting it back on the truck, you know, on a different truck, whatever truck was going to deliver. And that's how we did it every single day. And you can't do that really with step decks or flatbeds. You can't move product off a lot. So the way you would combine partials is by just putting another partial that fits on your truck. But that's the big thing. But secondary warehouses across like most warehouses will charge you like $150 or $200 just to move someone else's pallet. So you could go to a warehouse and be like, hey, listen, I'm delivering next door. I got two pallets that need to be moved and shifted around in my trailer. How much will you charge me? I'll use my own forklift, which you'll never let you do. I also had a driver that went to one of these warehouses. They told him to wait a second. It would be about 20 minutes before they could offload him. He jumped on a forklift himself, went and took the trailer off or took the product off of the truck, dropped it there, parked the forklift back, went back to the guy and had him sign the paperwork. And he's been blackballed from any of my customers' corporate locations all over the place. But yeah, he's been blackballed because you can't do that. Think about the liability. If that dude like flipped that forklift or something, that warehouse, no matter what, would have been sued. They shouldn't have left their keys there. I mean, that's the stupidest thing that people sue for such stupid reasons all the time. But Nate, I hope I answered your question. I know I didn't answer it completely, but if you have product that needs to be moved on your trailer and the receiving warehouse isn't going to move it to get to theirs, you're going to have to find another separate warehouse, but which you could do just by Googling warehouse, and you're going to have to contact them, pay them to move the product around so you can deliver the same stuff. That's why it's not very good to consolidate freight on a trailer unless you know that you're doing it in the right order. So, and that's why having a warehouse is good, because all my trucks would come. Like, for example, I booked anything that was picking up and delivering in the New York metro area from D.C. to Boston and out to like maybe halfway across Pennsylvania, essentially. So imagine a big half circle around that whole area, or three, like the Pac-Man guy right there over in New York. Anything that was picking up and delivering with that area, I booked. I didn't care. I didn't even care about money because I knew I was going to make a profit off of it. And I very rarely would I even haggle with price, because I had so many trucks running all over the place all day, every day, that I knew I was just going to be able to do it. And that was the good thing about booking trucks and knowing what you're doing there, is I was able to do that. And the only reason that works is because everything came back to the warehouse, and my warehouse guys pulled everything off of the trucks, slapped. Remember I said in the beginning, we used our own bill of lading for every single delivery. Slapped our own stickers on the actual pallets themselves, and then reattached our bill of lading to their bill of lading, stapled it right to the front, and then loaded it on the truck, got the manifest ready for the driver to come in. All my drivers started between 3 and 5 a.m. And they were out making deliveries until 10, and they'd be back and usually be back home by 2 or 3, as long as everything worked well. It's a good little operation. I just, again, like what I said, some people don't, I didn't save money. I kept buying more and more trucks and not paying attention to making sure I had enough money in case the shit hit the fan, which it did, and I didn't have enough money to save myself from it. And I think that's the problem with a lot of the little guys that are out there trucking now, is you're making money. I mean, hand and fist, everyone's making money in trucking right now, whether or not you say you are, or whether or not you're going out of business. The reason you're going out of business is because you're mismanaging shit. Like, I mean, for example, I make plenty of money. My wife makes plenty of money. We should have enough money. Well, she doesn't make shit, but because she's a teacher. But nonetheless, we make a decent household income. We still have times when, you know, we're like, oh, we gotta pay this bill, and we don't have it just because we're being, we're not saving. We're not being responsible. You know what I mean? I'll go just buy junk all the time. Shit, like I said, we've got 3 cars and a motorcycle, and only 2 drivers in the house. Stupid shit like that. I'm never gonna live that down. She yelled at me about that yesterday. I wanted a better car for when I go on sales calls. I went and bought a brand new car. But anyway, but yeah, that's. I hope I answered your question. I don't even know. I went off on a tangent there. Jason said, thanks. I'll send you a PM after this video. Sweet. Melissa said, what's an average rate that could be charged for dispatching loads? Do you want my answer, or do you want an industry answer? Because my answer would be like $20 a load. Be fair to the driver until rates start coming back up. People get mad at me all the time for saying that. I had one guy try to just flat out to say, oh, I stopped because of the industry. No, I used to be a dispatcher. I used to be a big dispatcher and have a bunch of dispatchers working for me. We charged, you know, we started at 5%, and then we combined factoring for, and then we made factoring and dispatching 6% just to undercut one other broker that, or one other guy that was out there that was doing it for 7.5. And then as the rates shifted and everything got tighter, everyone tightened up their wallets, loads started not paying as well, drivers started not making as much money, we kept lowering our rates. I have a firm belief that if you are an effective dispatcher and you are a good dispatcher, you shouldn't be charging over 2% or maybe $40 a load, in all reality. If I was ever going to start another dispatch company again, that's what I would do. I would charge a flat fee of either something really stupid like $200 a month and I dispatch, or like $40 a load, or even $30 a load, because it doesn't take a long time to book freight when you're good at it. You'll get some people that are like, oh, dispatch is hard work, it takes a lot of time and effort, blah, blah, blah. It's not. You're staring at load boards. You set little bells, they go off. You do a little bit of paperwork and the carrier's happy and you made the money. That's the thing. I'm not shitting on dispatchers. It's a job that's necessary, but I think there's some dispatchers out there that just charge too much damn money and they shouldn't do it. But I hope I answered your question the best I could. Tyler said, are you an agent for another company or have your own brokerage? No, I'm an agent for somebody. I used to have my own brokerage. I wasn't very good at it because of the money issues. Being able to flow, or being able to keep in enough money to pay carriers on time while customers are being slow to pay and all that stuff, it was too much for me to deal with. So I just became an agent again for somebody else, because now I don't worry about any of that and I just make that money. But, all right, what's this? Mike said, if I work from home under my own authority, what do you think is a good amount of earnings per year? Also, what is the highest you have heard of a broker making per year on their own? Thanks for all the help in changing this industry, my friend. I know I am, because you don't see any other brokers making these kind of videos. And that's the thing. So if you haven't, here, I'm going to do that little thing right now that I always do. And I'm sure you guys hate, because you're like, oh, he's going to do it again. I'm going to run through all these things. So here's my Facebook, guys, right here. It's facebook.com/freightbrokerlive. If you haven't already liked it, you can click on my name where it says your favorite freight broker posted this. You can click that and like it. You may be able to like somewhere down below and say you like it. I don't know. You can go to my website, which is right here, freightbrokerlive.com. You'll see at the bottom, it'll say subscribe. Eventually, I haven't done it yet, but eventually I'm going to take from the old website and this website and send out news articles and different, you know, funny things and stuff like that. You know, promotional shit like, oh, here's a, like I did the other day, that thing that you see with the TV where I was like, hey, that this TV is $100 cheap. I have that TV in my bedroom right now. I bought it last year. It was $100 more. But when you click on the link and you buy something from Amazon, guess who gets a commission from it? Me. You don't need to buy the TV. So that's why I did it, kind of as a marketing tool and to spur a conversation. It didn't spur as much, but some one person went on Amazon and ended up buying some Jeep hood or Jeep thing, and I ended up making, you know, $2 off of it. So that's what I'm trying to do. If you're an owner operator and you want a free 30 days to the Truckers Ed load board, can't talk. Go to www.truckersedge.com/408339. You got to use that whole code, but you'll get 30 days for free. I'm an affiliate, so I get a kickback from them after a little bit of time. I think it's like 3 months. I get like $5. So, but they also, it's the best load board that I use every day. So open on my other screen right now. If you really like my videos and you want to support me so I can make more content, more videos, go to www.patreon.com with that's patreon.com/freightbrokerlive. And you can sign up for one of my plans. It's like $5, $15, whatever. Everyone's going to get a coffee mug because I already ordered them thinking that as soon as I said it, everyone was going to sign up because they thought I was awesome. I've had like 4 or 5 people sign up, which I really appreciate. There's advertising packages in there if you want to advertise your company, all sorts of stuff. Also, if you go to the support Freight Broker Live, if you go to freightbrokerlive.com and then up in the upper left, it'll say support Freight Broker Live. You click on that, you have options. You have the patron option. You have a PayPal option just to send whatever you want. You got a Cash App option because some people use Cash App where you could just, you know, send a payment and, I'll blast it up here saying you did it and thank you very much and all that stuff. Those are old ones. But yeah, there's that. All right, back to where we were talking about. Yes. But yeah, that is why I make these videos, because I like being able to help people. I feel like it's helpful. I like making them. I swear, I tell my wife it's like therapy. She says I'm calmer now that I'm making these videos. Because I, you know, sometimes, like if something pisses me off, you guys know, based on my mannerisms and all that about the industry. Justin said, this is the content I was looking for when I subbed. Right on, buddy. And then you said, looking. I got you. Tyler said, I just can't stop watching as a freight broker of almost 10 years. What is your experience? I've been a freight broker now off and on for 15 years. So I started... I think 14 or something like that. So I started being a broker. I am the only completely self-taught freight broker that I've ever met. And what does that mean? I didn't go work for a company and learn how to broker freight. I literally owned a trucking company, watched YouTube videos, read articles, figured out shit. For the first 2 years that I had my trucking company, I didn't even know what a load board was. I was using UShip to book all my freight and just making handshakes and customers that way. I didn't even know about Dad or Truck Stop for literally the first 2 years of business. Once I started getting into the straight truck stuff, I was pissed at UShip and I looked up like UShip load board and then I think I took off like, or I did something and it popped up Dad and I was like, what the fuck is this? And I found that, and then I was like, holy cow. And then I realized there's a whole big industry. I never really thought about trucking. It seems silly to think about. But when I was doing the stuff that I was doing before, I didn't even get a DOT number for the first, you know, 6 months until I went to Florida and I stopped at the agricultural inspection. And they're like, yeah, where's your numbers, bud? I'm like, my what? And I played stupid enough because they let me go. But I didn't know anything better. But, yeah. So what was I talking about? Yeah. So I've been working, I started my freight forwarding company, which was the first brokering company I ever had, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, and just taught myself how to do it. We got bought out, ended up working for a bunch of different companies. I went to a couple of companies and built up their agent programs. I've helped 2 establish agent programs. I've helped, and then I moved down here to do the same thing with another one because that's what I like doing the most. That's why, Nate, I mean, you know from the big message I sent to you before this, I like helping companies grow. I don't necessarily want to be a part of those companies anymore because I've just had too many business partners and it never works out. But I like helping companies, like a company that says, hey, listen, this is my goal. This is what I want to achieve in 10 years. My goal as a consultant when I was doing the consulting stuff was to kick the shit out of that goal and make you a lot more profitable. Because then one, if someone else says, how do you do this? You're going to be like, yeah, that guy that makes those videos on that channel shit. You're going to be, you know, say that guy. So that's why I'm doing the custom website for this other broker. Granted, I know the guy, but I'm doing the website for him for $250. I'm not a web guy, but I know what how to market it because I've been doing it long enough, you know, and being in the brokerage industry, how to market it properly. Plus, I saw his old site and he can't do that. But that guy is interested in bringing on agents that I recommend to him, even without a book of business. So keep that in mind. I may have an opportunity for you guys after November when my free course is over. But yeah, hopefully, Tyler, that answered your question. I've been doing it for 14, 15 years. And I love it. I love and hate it at the same time. Like I always say, I'd rather be driving a truck. Shit, I'd rather be doing anything most of the time. I don't like sitting down. My feet don't like, my ankles swell up. I don't necessarily like brokering freight. I like being a carrier and dispatching a lot more. But then just everything kind of changed back. I make way more money as a broker than anything I've ever done before because there's no overhead. It's just me. All right, what's this next one? That was loud. How does a dispatcher get paid? Does the check come from the driver? Yes. A dispatcher cannot get paid from a shipper, ever. If the dispatcher is getting paid from the broker and then paying the carrier, they are being an illegal broker, and your job is to report them to the FMCSA. I know I just made a bunch of people go, oh, shit, oh. Yeah, but no, that's true. If you are getting paid, if you are a carrier and you've hired a dispatcher, say 4%, 5%, or 6%, and they are paying you once a week via a check and taking out their percentage from that, unless they have a broker bond and you already have your own numbers and all that stuff, I would just look at, here's an easy way to tell. One, look at the rate confirmation. It should be your company name on the broker's rate confirmation. If it's the company, the dispatch agency's company name on there, they are double brokering you the load 99 times out of 10 or out of 100. They're brokering the load, which is illegal. They don't have a broker authority. It's just not good. But the dispatcher gets paid by the carrier. Like when we did it, we had a couple of different things. So we charged monthly. We charged like when we did the monthly thing, we started at $8.99, then we went to $6.99. I discounted all the time. Like if someone would call me to become a client, I talked to them for a little bit, and they'd say, all right, how much is it? I'd be like, for you, $400. Because it was my company. I could do whatever I want. But, or we had a percentage plan. So if it was a flat rate plan, then we charged by the month, and it was upfront. If it was a per load plan, we charged as soon as the load picked up. That's when we would charge a card for the percentage that we had, and the card was left on file. I tried to do it where we would do it, every week, and people wouldn't pay me. They would take the loads, book the loads, and then just disappear instead of paying the dispatcher. So, but then again, that's one of the reasons why I got out of it too. I just don't like them. But I'm not a dispatcher. Anyone who's just tuning in because I see the viewer count goes up and down, I am not a dispatcher anymore. Don't like them. Don't like freight broker schools unless it's mine because mine's free. All that stuff. Nate Dog said, damn, Steve, you're undercutting the Russian dispatches and Valerius charging $500 a month. At that price, they'll subcontract you and make us dispatch again. Yeah. No, I'm not going to. But and you know what? I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with brokers that are from a different country, as long as they're doing a good job. I don't have a problem with dispatchers that are running from call centers overseas, as long as they're doing a good job. Their job is necessary for some. Some people need dispatchers. Completely get it. I have no problem with competition. I have no problem with other brokers getting started as long as they're doing a good job and doing a service to the industry. And I'm not talking about just the carrier. I'm talking about to the industry as a whole. Doing it right, setting up a corporation, being a legit person, paying taxes, all that shit is what I think that's what makes a good dispatcher. It's not just being able to find freight. In my opinion, I'm weird, I guess, in that regard. Tyler said, one more question. Does the company you are an agent for know? Do they know you're making these videos? How do they feel if they do? I don't know. I'm assuming they do because I post them to LinkedIn every now and then, and I know that they're aware of that because they're on LinkedIn. I don't mention – I'm an independent agent. They can't tell me what the hell I can and can't do anyway. And in all honesty, if they came and said, hey, Steve, we don't want you making these videos anymore. It's not a good representation, blah, blah, blah. I would say, see you later. I'm no longer an agent for you. And I just make the videos because I like this. And again, I'm an independent agent. Nobody could tell me what to do in the course of my business. I still book freight. I book more freight than their agents. I'm top 100 out of 200 agents, according to their little thing that they sent out. So I'm fine. I still make money, you know? So, and I don't think that they'll have any problem with it. And as you see, I don't mention them that much. I don't like to, because they're not going to open up possibilities unless you guys are watching this later and you do want to take in some of these people that I'm talking to as agents. You need to have a big book of business in order to even work with them. They do such a high step interview process of being an agent that they're not going to take someone without experience. And even if you try to say you have experience, they're not going to believe you unless you prove it, or you're just like me where you're a freaking salesperson. They could tell while talking to you on the phone. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, what's that? Next question. Mike Jamie said, you may have touched on this in an early episode, speaking solely about freight brokers. Do you think small freight brokers will be able to make as much as now in 20 years with the surge in technology? Absolutely not. I think, this is going to make some people mad. I think the advent of all this freight tech and the Uberization of the logistics industry will essentially put out the law, it'll put the small brokers out of business in the next 10 or so years. 100% believe that. 100%. Maybe 150%. In the next 10 to 15 to 20 years. Absolutely, I believe it. I think that the Uberization of freight, that process, which I'm also a proponent of it. Yes, I'm a proponent of something that could potentially make me not have a job. And I am absolutely fine with it because that's what the industry needs. Because I firmly believe if you get a level playing field when it comes to brokers, so you have a technology that says, okay, this is what the lane pays, this is what the shipper pays, this is it, it's going to provide like an equilibrium of rates and everything, and carriers are going to use technology to book freight, and it's going to be a seamless transition on the whole process. The process of actually booking freight will just go super smooth and uniform. Then yeah, I think it's not looking good for the little guys, but and I mean the real little guys. Like, is it going to affect me if I kept on my current wavelength? No, because I probably advanced with it. Shit, that's why I was building the app that I was building. I didn't realize that this whole thing was cut out the whole time of my text. That sucks. But anyway, now you can see the whole feed at the bottom. At any rate, yeah, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, guys. I don't think it's a bad thing, but yeah. Let's stop. I think it's great. Shit, I said this in another video too, Mike, that I would be willing if a freight tech startup right now called me and said, hey, we watch you. We know you have your own book of business. You're a natural sales guy. You're super good looking. See what I did there? But they would be like, hey, listen, we want you to be a part of our company. I would drop everything I was doing right now to jump on that. As long as they paid me enough. I'm not going to take a pay cut. But I firmly believe that's the direction this industry is going. And I want to be part of it. You know what I mean? That's what I think. That's what I think about it. I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's bad for anybody. You know, I think the automation of trucks and all that shit, I think that's pretty bad, and hopefully it doesn't get there. But the automation of freight, and here it'll put out the little guys that are still doing shit with Excel and stuff. All the guys that are going tech savvy and starting to use like TMS systems like Emerge and all that stuff to book freight, they're going to be fine because that is the technology that's coming out. You're not going to have some computer that's routing freight like that. You're still going to need salespeople going out and meeting those accounts. But what's going to end up happening is all the tedious shit that a broker does and a dispatcher does, a dispatcher for a carrier, all that tedious paperwork crap, even to accounting stuff. They have AIs now that could take in, scan a piece of paper when it comes in, determine whether it's a bill of lading, a POD, a lumper receipt, or whatever. It could scan it, put it in the right file, automatically mark the load delivered, which then sends something else to the accounting system to scan that, make sure that there's the signatures and everything are all perfect on it and there's no damages or anything like that, which then will send it to another system, which then will generate an invoice, mail the invoice, email the invoice to the customer with an attached POD. You want to go further? Now they have, if it goes to an email that's specifically for accounting systems, they have an email that will then take that invoice in, automatically catalog that invoice, set a pay date, and automatically schedule it for payment as long as all the check marks are done on that side. See, the process of automation is already here, folks. You can automate accounts payable. You know, there's a company, Revenue, that contacted me that they're working to do that with brokers. They would like to get their system out because that's essentially what they do. As soon as a load comes in, it's marked delivered, they will automatically front the money and tender payment to the carrier. And they're what they want to work with brokers. Their system wasn't advanced enough yet. But yes. And here's, you said yes. Yes, they all are. You and I talked about them. That's one of the things that I talked about. All those systems are public. HubTran Hub or whatever. That's one of them. They're expensive and they're AI. They're AI based or computer learning systems. So they take in all the information and it's built on a process. But yeah, they're all there and I think they're great. You're always going to need salespeople. So I think the actual job function of a freight broker is going to change. The job function of a freight broker booking freight every day and having his hands on, dealing with carriers, dealing with those carriers that argue about cheap freight, dealing with the ones that are late or dealing with the ones that cancel your load to go get a different load. All those like tedious shit, that stuff is going to be done. Give it 10 years. I guarantee it. That's why I was trying to develop my dispatch app for almost the same focus, because I was trying to automate the dispatcher's job. And, you know, and it gave the appearance that it worked, because really all I did is I automated the process from the dispatch to the carrier, the communication there, because I'd click a button and then it would tender the load to the carrier, but it didn't actually automate anything. But yeah, there's all sorts of different systems out there that do it. Dawn said, our live feed got you working today. Will your competition be televised? I don't have competition. There's other people that make videos. Today's Wednesday, so I think Shaggy makes his video today. If someone watches Shaggy, feel free to ask him to unblock me personally, because I like watching his videos. I don't shit on Shaggy's training or any of that stuff. He personally, not his page, but he personally has me blocked for some reason. And so I can't see his videos till later. But if someone knows him, say, hey, listen, unblock Steve, or unblock, yeah, he's got to unblock me, Steve Oatley. Because the freight broker live, I just can't see it, but whatever. He's a good dude. And I encourage everyone to watch those videos. There's one guy, the RBBS guy, you know, and I don't think he advertises anymore on Facebook, but that's the only one that I wouldn't watch. I see Don. Will your competition be televised? I gotcha. I went off on a tangent there, didn't I? I don't know if this one is. I know the Worlds are. When I compete next month in Orlando or in Ireland, they will be. Someone said this one is. If I can, I'll try to link it to my page. But I always take videos of my lifts anyway, so they'll be there. Let's see what some of these other ones are. James Dave said, do you have any advice on somebody want to get in the business of being a freight broker? Yeah, you got to watch my videos, but... So make sure you like my page, James, and just watch some of the other videos, man. I usually go live for like between 50 and an hour and 20 minutes a day, and I talk about exactly that. First 20 minutes, I talk about news and whatever other shit I want to talk about, and then I do a Q&A and talk about whatever I feel like until I get tired, which I'm nearing that line, boys and girls. Nate said Transflow. Yeah, that's one of them, but that's not it. I was supposed to have a meeting at 10 o'clock with Transflow today, and it didn't happen. In my lifting comp. And then Mike said, are there any resources on YouTube that you have seen similar to you that has good content? I've seen Shaggy stuff, but it seems like a lot of dispatch stuff. Most of the freight broker content online is fluff and has no substance, therefore is not worth watching. I haven't seen it. I search all the time. And I'm not doing this to toot my own horn, but this is one of the reasons why when I was telling my wife, I think these videos eventually will take off. They need to get more play on YouTube, definitely, because they're not getting enough viewership. And the way it works is if they get watches on YouTube, then they go higher to the list and more people see them, therefore more watches and all that shit. But they just don't, you know. A couple of them have had over 1,000 views. The majority of them don't. You know, it all depends. But I really haven't. I've seen the best stuff you guys can watch in terms of being a freight broker online, besides my videos, would have to be the sales stuff. The guy Dennis Brown, he used to work with LDI. He knows his shit, or he used to work for somebody, US Logistics or somebody. He knows his stuff in terms of sales. But again, he also has a course. I don't believe in paying for a freight broker course because you're never going to get enough knowledge. Like the guy said before, he's been in it for 10 years and he's still learning new stuff. I've been in it for 15 years. I learn new shit every single day. Shit, I didn't even know the chow lady was such a scumbag. You know, you learn stuff every day. And you know, like I said about Shaggy, I don't have a problem with him. He does focus on the dispatch stuff because that's the easier thing to teach. Being a dispatcher, being a dispatcher is easy because you teach someone how to use a load board. You teach someone how to quickly find a new carrier on the load board, on the sites. And guess what? You're a dispatcher. It's not hard to do. It's super easy. So, you know, and that's why I could teach someone to dispatch in an hour. And I'm not joking, in an hour. You know, because all you have to do is get them access to a load board, show them how to call, show them the paperwork to fill out, and boom, the load is booked. It's easy to do. It doesn't take a lot. You know, Shaggy system is built on referrals, so it works a little bit different. He spends a lot of time introducing you to all these other people because he gets referral fees for them, which is fine. You know, I get referral fees from every single ad or anything. OTR, when I repped OTR in the commercial earlier, I get referral fees for them. I have no complaints with referrals, but you can't build a freight broker program off of referrals. And you know, like Ben said, he paid for Dennis Brown's freight broker course. LOL. Again, I've never taken his course. I don't know. The only thing I could say is that I used to teach courses. I had freighttraining.com. I used to teach courses and I would never get the kind of people didn't what the fuck is the right word? They didn't get it. You can't teach someone in a week. Shit, all the guys that are going to take my course, Melissa Rabina asked, we signed up for a free training. When will you be notified if you're able to join? You'll be notified probably on Sunday. But as I said yesterday, I may be pushing this all back because I got a lot of crap going on. So I may put, it's a free course, so no one really can complain. But I may push it back a couple of weeks to start later in October. I don't know. But I won't know till Sunday. I'll make the decision on Sunday when I'm going to actually start it because I want to be active in it too. And if I'm competing and doing the Worlds and the North America Championships and booking freight and trying to survive Christmas and survive my house and kids and all that shit, I got to make sure I have time to devote to the course. So you guys will have to deal with that, but I'll answer that later. But anyone who teaches a freight broker class and pays for it, at least for me, I needed to have that sort of like feeling that people are actually learning something in order for me to justify in my head to continue doing it. Sure, money was fine. You know, teaching people at $600 a whack to come and sit for 6 weeks in a class, 40 or 50 people in a class, I made great money. But the problem is that when after it was done, I only had two or three people that actually were ready to be a broker. And I didn't like that. I felt like I was ripping people off because I wasn't able to teach them everything they needed to know to do the job. So I stopped doing it and said, all right. And then as I'm making these videos, when I first started again, I'm like, I need to start trying to figure out a way that I can help people and do this the right way instead of charging people for a course. So I said, I've already got all the content. I'll just put it together and make a free course. What you guys choose to do with the course after is your deal. It's not, you're not going to get a certificate that says you're now a certified freight broker because that's bullshit. Like I say in the video in the course, it's not, it doesn't mean anything. It's not going to help you get a job. Actually, it may, because I did have someone say, listen, they'd be interested in talking to people about becoming an agent for them. But again, that's just my belief. I don't try to shit on anybody. I get a kick out of when people talk about how much money can you make as a freight broker, and they are teaching people how to broker and have no experience doing it. The RBBS guy, you know, he doesn't have any experience being a broker. How the hell can you teach someone to be a broker? Dennis Brown, he's got a lot of experience, but I think the teaching part is the hardest part, or is the easiest part of teaching a freight training program. Teaching someone how to do it is super easy. It's template shit. You just read it off your head. It's like sales. Once you get sales, I know sales are hard for some, but once you get it and you understand what to say and you get your groove and you're calling and you get it, even if you're not closing them, you know it's a good call or a bad call. I mean, imagine, take that one thing that you're good at, whatever it is in life, and the way it makes you feel when you're doing it, which is like a good thing, hopefully, if you're doing the one thing you're good at and you like it. That's how I expected to feel when I was having the freight broker training course. I expected that because I felt that way, the people that were learning from it would be able to share that feeling or something, but they didn't. They didn't learn enough, and they were not ready to enter the workforce. So I stopped doing it, canceled all the seminars and stuff. Now, and I know that there are people that take these other things, you know, the weekend seminars or the 4-day boot camps or any of that, and they're not getting what they're promised. And I think I've given a full disclosure saying that you're not going to get anything besides a really good fundamental operational knowledge of what it takes to be a freight broker. You probably hear a lot of the same shit from all these other groups. That's it. But oh no, I didn't lose sound, right? That's just on you guys. I'm assuming you guys still have sound. But yeah, I still have sound, so that must just be him. But so Mike Jamie, no, I don't know, but yeah, I that's my belief. I don't shit on any of these training programs. You do your own thing, unless it's the RVBS one. But you know, just be careful. Be careful who you're signing up with, because a lot of times you're just gonna get ripped off. You know, you're getting taught by someone that doesn't know anything. Someone else messaged me the other day and asked about Teltoa, and they were you could tell they were probably a good salesperson, because they're like, hey, I'm trying to find something about Teltoa. Do you have any experience with them? And I'm like, no, it was on YouTube. They actually asked me. I said, no, I don't really. They're like, I looked him up on LinkedIn, no employees. I looked him up here. I can't find the owner. I don't know who it is or who teaches it or anything like that. But the course looks very good, but I can't find anything about it. That's because they don't want you to. You know what I mean? I kind of shield my name from all this because I am an active freight broker. I try to keep the two separate. But half of the people can easily figure out my name. Half of the people know who I am. Pretty much all of you guys, if you watch my videos regularly, know who I work for. Hell, you probably even catch my wife's name and shit. I'm an open book. I'll tell anybody what they need to know. So I don't believe in hiding behind something, especially when your experience is the teaching part. So to the folks at Teltoa, if you watch this, update your website and show who's your actual teachers, by the way. Mike said he's super curious about that course. Yeah, I mean, Mike, if you're watching this back on replay, the guy knows what he's talking about for sales and stuff like that. He built a huge freight brokerage, so he's good. But I've also encountered people that just didn't get what they're looking for, and who knows what they're actually looking for. You know what I mean? So I don't have any problems with his course. I just have a problem with people pay for it. That's just when people pay for a course, that's a problem. So That's it. There's other courses, like I think his, or there's another guy that's with one of those big brokers where he gives you the option of becoming an agent. So if he likes you after the training, after you pay him to train, he'll give you an option of being like a sub agent under him. That's great. I have that option too, of doing that for everyone that becomes that takes my course. I'm not going to, because I'm still going to have to handhold and do all that. I know I said I was thinking about doing it, but I can't. I don't have the time to do that. And I could build up a whole team to do it. I don't want to. So, all right. Any other questions? Because I'm tired of talking about freight broker schools. I'm always tired of talking about freight broker schools. But I've been live anyway for an hour and 18, almost an hour and 19 minutes here. Like I say all the time, I'm going to go through my spiel at the end, and then I'll end this son of a gun. If you like my videos and you've learned a lot and you want to support me and all that stuff and support Freight Broker Live so I can keep making content, the next step is to probably hire a couple of other content providers to write articles and things like that, and buy more content, better cameras, stuff like that. But if you go over to freightbrokerlive.com, make sure you fill out the thing that's all the way at the bottom on the right-hand side with an email. That's going to be a subscription list. So I'll send out, you know, probably weekly blasts about what we covered in the news, different, maybe a featured video of the week or something like that, different content. So you don't want to miss that. So even if you've been to the site before, if you haven't filled out that, or if you did it on the old site, do it on the new one too. And just subscribe down below because there's going to be new crap coming out all the time. If you want to become a supporter, you can go to freightbrokerlive.com, click on the box that's on the upper left. It's on the upper left. If you're looking at the screen, it says support Freight Broker Live. You can do a one-time Cash App donation, which is super cool because I get it right away. I didn't even realize that until the other guy did it. You can sign up for Patreon and become a monthly supporter and you'll get a coffee mug. Everyone that did anyone who's contributed anything so far will get a coffee mug after the first. They're called tumblers. That's what it is. And it says Freight Broker Live on it. Super cool. So, but yeah, just go ahead and sign up. It helps me. It keeps me making these videos. You don't have to do it. It's fully optional. So whatever, that's that. Let's see. Nate said he's been to a boot camp. It's a bit too much material for anyone because you can't absorb it fast enough. I've spent a lot of time looking into brokering and it seems the time and asking as many questions as possible late at the end of the road. Maybe Steve can change. Steve could charge for help. For consulting, you know, and I was thinking about that actually today, you know, and I may do that. I may do blocks, you know. Nate, I know I presented something to you earlier. I did the same thing with somebody else, and they ended up signing up. Not the same thing as you. They're on a brokerage side, but that's just because if I can do things to eliminate some of the time constraints that I have with brokering freight now, and I can make more content, make more videos, and all that, I will completely always make free content. You know, as long as I'm making enough to provide for my family and all that stuff, I'll do freight broker courses. Like, for example, if you see on my Facebook that I have a new article written, go click on that article, read the article. You don't need to click on ads at the bottom, but you view that site and then I end up getting the views and it just helps me. You don't need to do anything, but it helps me. So read the articles, read the shit I'm producing, even if it doesn't interest you. Just do it anyway because it helps me and it's better for me. All right. Anyway, Teras Rashachan. Everyone that's trying to become a freight broker should have a LinkedIn and you should be able to find someone on LinkedIn. So I think you should be able to look up Freight Broker Live or your favorite freight broker or Stephen Oatley or any of those three and find me. I am on there. Some of you guys have already found me. One of the most important sales things in your wheelhouse right now in this day and age is LinkedIn. Because imagine what Facebook is for, like, whatever you guys are watching this on Facebook right now and me advertising on Facebook. LinkedIn is for professionals. I've got a LinkedIn. I've got 900, members on there. Not one of them is a personal friend. They're all business contacts. Well, actually, I take that back. I do have personal friends on LinkedIn, but they're pretty much all business contacts. You know, so I could look up the CEO of a company and find out I'm third connect to him and I have a way to get in. I also pay for LinkedIn too. So I pay for, I think it's like $50 a month for what I pay. So I'm able to see a lot more and find. I use it as a sales tool all the time. All the time. If I'm looking up in a company employee, that I want to find, I'll find them on LinkedIn. I do not contact them on LinkedIn, but it gives me a lot of information. So, but yeah, you should be able to find me right on LinkedIn. Eventually, I'm going to create a business page for Freight Broker Live. I haven't done it yet, so it's just my personal one. But. And Mike said, okay, thanks. Would you say it's a ripoff or scam overall? I think it's two different things. So what Nate is talking about is one of these like weekend warrior boot camps. It's different. It's not because Dennis calls his the freight broker boot camp. That's his. It's a different thing. They're not the same. And so I don't want those two to be confused at all. One is Freight Broker Boot Camp, and one is this boot camp that someone runs, you know, a traveling circus show. Not really, but you know what I'm saying. It's like a weekend thing where they just teach you. The Freight Broker Boot Camp, I know nothing about it other than who teaches it. You know, Dennis, if you want to, if anyone is watching this, Dennis, Shaggy, shit, Calvin, I'd probably pay you to get on my show. Any of these guys that do these videos and just want to have a video together and just talk about the industry, I'm more than happy to. I'm here to enlighten people. I don't make a profit off of you guys unless you click a link or do this or do that. That's not why I'm making the content. So if any of you guys want to make a video together and feature stuff, that's why I did it with Craig a month ago. You know, I'm working with a logistics recruiter who's interested in advertising with us, but I'm talking to them about just doing a video where they're not plugging themselves, where it's just they're talking about what a logistics recruiter looks for in a logistic candidate and all that stuff. I can't believe it's 3:30. I am going to have to end this pretty soon. Nate said you got a lot of value on the carrier side, but brokering side was missing a lot. And it's because he's not a broker. You can't teach someone how to broker if you haven't been in it. It's my belief. Adam said, if shippers are frustrated with carriers that brokers send, no shipment or tarps, non-English speaking, what can you do to make it better? Send better shippers. I combine two answers. Either find different shippers or send better carriers. You know, I don't. If it needs tarps, you have to send a carrier. You specifically say it has tarps. If, you know, I've said it before, even though it sucks, drivers must speak English. You would almost think it's a given, but no. I mean, I had a load that picked up yesterday. It had to be a U.S. citizen, no dual citizenship, no firearms in the truck, no drugs, no history, no criminal record, blah, 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 whole list of shit. Guy said he was in and out in 20 minutes. They didn't even ask him shit. But that's just what the customer requested and required, so it is what it is. But Vincent said, free place to find forms and contracts, those need for booking freight, hiring agents down the road, dispatching, leasing on, et cetera. I'm going to have a bunch in the course when it finally opens up that you'll be able to download and customize. Anything else? I mean, you can find them all online. I mean, all sorts of courses. Shit, the ones that I have, I probably found online. You know, you can find them all online. But and Nate said, can't learn sales in under a month. You can't. That is true. You can't do it. All right, guys. It's been a long time. I'm going to end. If you haven't already, make sure you like my page. I think today during this video, I just got over 1,000 likes on Facebook. So congratulate yourselves. You guys help make me awesome. Just share it. Share my videos. Share the groups. Share the stupid memes I put up. That stuff helps. As silly as it seems, because people will like it. It's just as easy just to say, hey, share to this group, boom, and you're done. That stuff helps. So please do it as much as you can. Get me out there so I get a lot more people watching all the time. Like that one day I had 90 people watching. Yesterday, shit, I think I had a bunch. And now I see an angry face. James Davies Jr., what's the angry face for, buddy? Come on. I'll wait. You can type in chat. Let's go. I'm calling you out. James Davies Jr., James Davs. I can't even talk. This video's been going on too long. But I'm going to give him a second in case he wants to type something in chat. But yeah, you and Nate, you can't learn sales in under a month. You can learn the fundamentals. You can learn a rough approach on how to deal with stuff. But yeah, you're not going to learn how to like be good at it. You know, you're just not. But it takes a lot. It takes time, really. You know, you learn the tactics and then you find your own approach to doing things. Like I said, I'm not a big calling, you know, I'm not a big phone call guy. I don't like to call all the time. I like to send emails and I changed that up a little bit and started calling people and stuff like that. But all right. So I called him out there, James. You said it was an accident. He didn't mean to. All right. You're okay. But Mike said, good luck at your weightlifting meet. Hope you set some world records. I'm a ways away from world. I already have 4 state records. I am going for the national state record too, but hope you set some world records. I'm looking to start agent work from home program in the near future. If I were looking for consulting, do you think you personally would have enough knowledge to do that? All right, Mike. Have you watched my videos? That's literally what I've done. I did that for a living. I was a director of agency services. I created a whole agent program for a huge broker. Yeah, that's what I could do. I'm not cheap, bud. So anyone else that wants to like hire me as a consultant, I'm fully open to it. I'm not cheap though. I get paid a premium because that's what I do. And then Nate said, like trying to bench 300 in 2 weeks, you have to build yourself up to it. 300, bro. I'm way above that. But yeah, you do. I didn't start at 300. I started at 225 5 years ago. You just got to keep working at it. Sales, brokering, you learn everything. You know, that's the thing that I'm successful because I just keep fucking working. I keep learning. I read everything all the time. And that's what I keep focusing on. But all right, guys, I'll see you later. I'm going to end this video now because I've been talking forever. See you later. Make sure you like this on Facebook, subscribe, share, donate, or I'm stopping saying donate. Sponsor my page. If you want to advertise, if you want to do some consulting arrangement or something like that, send me a message. Nate, if you want to make your company great again or huge again, whatever it is, you know what to do. All right, guys. Bye.